Thank you. Apparently, we have reached the end of the 21st American ACC. Fortuitously, we did so with no major casualties beyond cases. Now, of course, I've had very little to do with this ACC. The hot sparks that came off the back of your neck sometimes, however. I'll have to take responsibility for some of those. Now, I think you have done a splendid job. I think in auditing-wise, you have done a very great job. And I think auditor-wise, we have seen improvements in this ACC greater than any CC we have ever instructed. And for that, I want to thank you, because that's good pay. Now, I am also reliably informed that there are no cases in the 21st American ACC that have not been reached. There are none that have not been reached. Your instructors equivocate, however, on whether or not it was 100% case crack. They say 99%. They'll settle for 99%. Well, that makes 1.08 persons. And so it's very easy to look around and find who this 1.08 person is. But if you have... 08 of you has flipped out of your head and gotten into the PC who didn't totally crack. That's probably the reason why. Well, it's 100% case reach, and they say a 99% case crack. There have been no clear checks yet, but there are a great many rocks have been successfully run, quite adequately, and the PCs are down to running a heavy, oh my God, engram in about an hour. And the geometric progression of shorter and shorter distances to run engrams and put them back and so forth materializing. And so that's a good enough guarantee that with a little more auditing, we'll have some theta clears. In view of the fact that there's only about 75 hours of actual applied auditing behind us in this ACC per PC, the gains and results are utterly fantastic. Now, I'll let that teach you a lesson. Even here, 75 hours can do something for a PC. Now, those cases that have not come all the way up to theta clear, I invite them by co-auditing or other means, the HGC, something like that, to get finished up. And those cases which have just been cracked, well, let's make some arrangement or another to carry it on through and square it around till the case is nicely stable. I don't want to see somebody who got nicely fixed up here and got his case on the road, go back to Podunk or some other unlikely crossroads and get some student, had a week of comm course, to go on and run a wound-up doll here to get his case on the road, because his case won't be on the road. The case is on the road right now. It is my belief that you should give it a good swift kick and get it all the way along the road. That's my conviction in the matter. Because I think you've done splendidly, and I think your own gains as PC are good. Particularly your auditing skill I find quite excellent. This ACC has had rave notices almost from its beginning. I've been getting lots of letters from the field about what a great ACC this is. That's quite remarkable. And I suppose that some of you have had the idea of carrying on here with a bit of co-audit or getting some more auditing before you get out of the immediate vicinity. But if you can, please do so in order to get this squared away, because we need every one of you, and so does the world. You hear me now? This is the last ACC that will be taught in the United States for a year and a half. Therefore, it's pretty well up to you to carry the ball. And while you're carrying a ball, it's very embarrassing to have a case wrapped around your legs. Get the idea? It's very embarrassing. It's not something you should do out of choice. You've been doing it too long. And you noticed every once in a while the ball dropped out of bounds or elsewhere. You all of a sudden didn't feel right up on top or something of the sort. Not much reason for that now. Now, it is customary in this last lecture to review the processes which have been used in the ACC with any data that has been learned in the ACC, just so all of you get a good square look at it, because some of you here and there might have had your head down in an auditing session and might not have noticed it as it went by. Therefore, I will give you a rapid list of the processes which were run in this ACC and the immediate consequences of it. Now, the goals of this ACC were first and foremost to make excellent auditors. The next goal was to make as many people theta clear as possible, push them way up the line, without any real concentration on this particular goal, but a tremendous concentration on every case cracked and reached. Now, that was a major concentration in the auditing. Now, I have no report at this time on how many reached or came close to theta clear, but I do have ample reports on, first, foremost, and most important, the auditing skill. And that is tremendous, the increase in skill. And I have the reports on every case has been reached, and 99% have been cracked, leaving, of course, that 1.08, I think, person. And I haven't got 5 minutes later this afternoon, or we'd finish it up to 100%, but then it wouldn't have happened in the ACC. You wouldn't have done it. Now, in giving you a summary of these processes, I'd like to point out something that is very succinct, distinct, exclamation pointed, and underscored. You did this. See, you did this. It was your auditing that did this. Now, I was breathing down the back of the neck of your instructors, and I was looking over your auditing. I did the research on these processes that you used, and you had me going there about the third week, about toward the end of the third week, when some of the uppers didn't bite and we had to undercut. And I also had to get going just this week to make sure that we raised that percentile, because the percentile was bad on Monday. I think we had upwards of 10 cases uncracked, something on that order, Monday, and we just reduced this down in an awful rush for the remainder of this week. But it was your auditing that made these processes work. First and foremost, it was your auditing that did this. Now, that's what's very significant about these processes. That is probably the most important thing about any process that we ran in this ACC, that it was your auditing that made it click. You see, I can tell you so many processes. They probably are number tens of thousands by now. I have no idea how many processes there really are. I can tell you processes and approaches to cases ad infinitum. But something new has happened here in that we have processes and approaches which are being applied skillfully and well by an auditor. Now, that's another process. Now, when somebody suddenly swings along and he says, what's wrong with every mind? It's the loss, because the loss, you know, what's wrong with cases of the loss, because of the loss, and if you just double terminal all the losses, and then you get it up, and you stack it up at the corner, and then you have the PC walk three times around the block, and then spit accurately into a silver spittoon, and that is an excellent process. You say, good, but can it be audited by auditors in general? And that is the test of a process. No test of a process now whether or not it works. My God, they all work. But can they be audited? Now, that's what we've done in this ACC. We have stretched out here, racked up, made apparent, made visible a great many processes that can be audited. And that's pretty tremendous. And that's the most significant thing about this ACC. Just that, right there. Now, the test of any process is the case. Change of communication level of. Change of communication level of the case. And a more interior look. Change of characteristic of the field or track of the case. And if you change a person's communication level, and you can change the aspect of his field, and if you can change the characteristic of his track, you've got it. That case has changed. It really doesn't matter whether he says so or not. That really doesn't matter. But in this peculiar series of processes, the case says so too. We got a subjective reality because we're working very hard at the R factor. Now, basically, what we did with these processes, on a case that could, we ran engrams until we could run the rock, and then we ran more engrams, having had the rock off the case, and swept it right on up the line toward theta clear. But on those cases which could not run an engram with reality, we did something new, different, and strange. We turned on their reality by turning off their not-is. Now, this was a new discovery. This was a new discovery, almost as important as the engram itself, that the not-isness of a case was what kept the case from seeing engrams being on his track and re-experiencing his past. Now, that was what held the show up from 1950 to 1959. 9 years. It was held up just by this one factor. We knew about engrams. We didn't concentrate on teaching anybody to run engrams. Why? Well, there were too many cases that couldn't run engrams. Well, what was the bug here? What kept people from running engrams? We said occlusion, we said fields, we said computations. But just recently, I said it's R, the R factor. What destroys the R factor? Not ising reality. Not as ising it, you'd still have R. But not ising it. And that's what creates fields. That's what displaces the time track. That's what wipes out chains of incidents. This not-isness. This is why people go out of valence. It's just another way of not-ising it. They pick up the valence of chronic not-isers. Now, not only do they not-is, but they elsewhere. And these two things go squarely together. Any not-isness occurs after the person has been unsuccessful in his ambition to elsewhere. If he can't confront it, he tries to leave. Right? If he can't leave, he's left with only one choice, and that's not-is it. Join the Pollyanna Foundation. Not, is it? Assign it a whole bunch of psychiatric terms to not, is it? Sweep it up somehow or another into the corner, pull a rug over it. And that only happens after he can't leave. Now, insanity is made out of these complications. An insane person is a person who has been unable to confront, who has then, because of that, tried to escape, has been unable to escape. So he not is, or went mad. He had two choices after he couldn't leave. He could not is or go mad. And some take one road and some take the other. But going mad is not a gradient scale of not isness. Insanity is basically merely another mechanism by which to convince our fellows that we are beyond being punished. Now, psychiatry has followed this right up the line. Oh, these great noble men, these benefactors of humanity who get all their appropriations from the government with their little electrodes and their shockers and their augers and their skull scalpels and their magic insignia on the door, APA, magic symbol. The gourd rattle, a dictionary of terms that nobody can understand. They rattle them all the time, on and on. These guys will undoubtedly, sooner or later, develop another answer, which will not be insanity. Now, that's quite interesting, and I look way up into the future. But they are busy at it now because insanity was once an answer. Within two or three generations of us, in our past, insanity was still an answer. If the guy went insane, people would leave him alone. Now they get in there and they shock him and they bore holes in his skull and then say, well, he came to me too late, that's why he's dead. What about this guy? What about this guy? He had an answer, see? He said, all right, I can't leave. I can't leave. So I've got another answer. I'll go nuts. So he goes, and he starts running around saying, has anybody ever seen the pink elephants going up Pennsylvania Avenue and so forth and so on? And everybody said, well, there's nothing you can do about him. He can't be responsible for anything. Total irresponsible case, so therefore, just have to leave him alone and do what he pleases. So this guy in some sort of an unhappy fog managed kind of to put up with it with this perfect answer as far as he was concerned. Nuts. Crazy. Ah, but that answer's being invalidated. Now, there were just two routes. One was to not is, the leaving daylights out of things. You see, and you just said, well, 'tisn't real. 'Tisn't real. Come to the Lord, ye sinners. Jesus waits. All is mind, 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 infinite mind, and there's no mess. Things are only what you think, said the fellow as they fed him through the hamburger chopper. It's just how you look at things. Cracker Bell type philosophy, you know, on and on and on. You know, just kind of explain it all away. The fellow walks up the scaffold and he says, well, it had to come sometime. Might as well be now, he says. He just made a couple of million, you know, And he had everything just going along fine. All of a sudden, they executed him for a crime he didn't do. So he says, well, it might as well be now, anytime. We all have to go sometime. Which doesn't include, in his computation, ever coming back. Sure upsets the living daylights out of him, though every time he passes the location where that scaffold was erected in this town, he's a little boy. Mama sends him down to the market. He passes over the spot. "You just never did like the center of the marketplace," he tells you. And under that, why, we all had to go sometime, and not is, 'tisn't there. I suppose men act the way they do because they act the way they do, and they don't know any better. More philosophy. So he never confronts any part of it. He just goes off in a bunch of rationalizations of one kind. He just writes script. And pretty soon, he isn't living life. He's just writing script. So not ising goes into dubbing. But dubbing isn't insanity. Dubbing isn't insanity. A lot of people going around who dub in like mad who aren't crazy. They're still in control of things. They can still do things. They dub like mad. But this decision to go insane is just a decision, while still there, to take no responsibility for anything of any kind, any place. Well, the insane fellow stands in the middle of the street, and the horse and wagon starts to run square over him. Everybody chides the driver. They say, "You shouldn't do that. Don't you realize he's the village idiot?" He used to call him the village idiot. Now they call him the head psychiatrist. And a fellow says, "Well, look at that. There wasn't any way I could have gotten him out of the road anyhow," and so forth. "I'll just have to be careful of this village idiot." And you get a condition where everybody on earth is taking care of him, and he's taking care of nothing, including himself. See? Only these are actual active decisions. It isn't the decision to dub in. It isn't the decision to not is. So not isness goes this one extra step, dub in. If you can't wipe it out, put something else in its place. That's still a sane decision. Now, insanity is merely the decision to be irresponsible on fewer many dynamics. Decision to be irresponsible. Decision to have nothing to do with it whatsoever. And that's the route insanity goes. But it takes an actual impulse. It takes an actual idea to go insane, to act in an irrational manner. Now, dubbing in is not really acting in an irrational manner. But insane people act in an irrational manner. Now, you'll find people who not is also sometimes insane. You'll find people who dub in also sometimes insane. You'll find people who are just trying to go elsewhere sometimes insane. These are not coordinated. This is a special commodity, this insanity. It requires the decision to be irrational. Dub in, that's rational. Elsewhereness, that's rational. Not is, that's rational. Okay. Insanity, just be irrational. Now, how about the insane person then? Does he have anything much to do with what we've been doing here? Well, of course, his case will respond. Case will respond practically anything you do to him. But every once in a while, you'll run into him and you'll say, "Aha, aha, this doesn't work. It requires some extraordinary measure." Now, I've got a plot genie, and if I just take all the pages of the plot genie and a text on Scientology and then read them all backwards, why, maybe I'll get a process that'll crack this formidable case that nothing works on whatsoever. Before you go way astray and think that some tremendous solution or action is required of you, let's look this one over carefully. He isn't insane because he not is. He not is, and he's also insane. Get the idea? He isn't insane because he dubs in. He dubs in and is also insane. You got the idea? He could dub in and be sane or insane. But this particular case you've gotten to is nuts. Also. Now, death is going crazy. There's a craziness connected with death. There's a certain craziness. And a person can make a certain series of postulates about going on being irrational. But for a moment, while a person is dying and kicking off, He says to himself, "Well, I can't do anything about it. It's all beyond me. Therefore, I'm totally irresponsible, and it hasn't anything to do with me." And on this irresponsibility kick, he forgets, plows under, and has nothing else to do with the life he has just lived. That's the mechanics of the situation. What if he said, never again will I ever take any responsibility for anything, any place, and never again will I ever be able to do anything about anything at any time, any place. That's an insane postulate. Takes continuance of unable to do anything about it, continuance of irresponsibility. And continuance has to do with insanity. The continuance of the irresponsibility. So, this case, you've got to crack on responsibility. Common denominator of all insanity is irresponsibility on few or many dynamics, or all. Now, if you don't click and have something there that gets the person into a responsibility frame of mind, you're not going to proceed. There's an auditor processed such a case, by the way, out in Chicago not too long ago. No engram or anything else would run on the case until he ran the responsibility engram command first. Got it? Well, then, you should ask yourself, why in all cases don't we run the responsibility one first? Because it doesn't belong there. See? You only have to invite participation or invite further responsibility in those cases which have totally and forever negated against it. And the entrance then to any insane case that you have nothing to do with, well, I'll give you the entrance point. The entrance to any insane case is to establish responsibility somewhere, somehow, to some slight degree, and then increase that responsibility. This can be done in many ways, such as participation. Now let's look at some processes which aren't here and actually which belong in our lineup, CCH 1, 2, 3, 4. These are repetitive processes which eventually bring about a participation on the part of the person. So there are your insane processes. See, those are the insane processes. 1, 2, 3, 4. You keep saying, give me that hand to this individual after a while, why he says, well, I might as well offer it. Boy, you've got him right there. See? You made him participate. He's had to take that much responsibility for what's going on. And then he'll take more and more and more. And you keep running the CCHs with tone 40. The individual finally chips in on it. It isn't that you're alloying or ruining his self-determinism or stacking up the other determinism of the case, you're showing that something is happening, and eventually you get him to participate, and it's happening. As soon as he starts participating, and it's happening, and so forth, you're liable to see the insanity factor of the thing just blow up. Oh, he'll be cross, he'll be mean, he'll be irrational. He'll be as mean to you as an instructor. But you just look at the case from there on. So the special isolated factor called irresponsibility is, for our purposes, insanity. So, in this ACC, we did nothing with this and did not talk about it at all, and I'm up here right now telling you why. Get the idea? We didn't have any locos in our midst. Not real ones. It's immediately selected out. You came here to participate. Automatic selection. All right, now do you see the one thing that stands aside from any of the processes which you ran? Is the responsibility factor, which is most easily established by getting somebody to participate. And processes which get somebody to participate in a session are different than these processes. And the best of those processes that can be audited by auditors, CCH 1, 2, 3, 4. The best of those processes. Old 8C, old man, this guy had his paws slapped up against the wall, and his paws slapped up against the wall, and he's walked across the room back and forth. After a while, he decides to walk across the room. It doesn't kill him. Second, he decides to participate just to that degree. You got him. So these, of course, are those processes that you would immediately fall back on when you were confronting one of two things, either insanity or total disability or unconsciousness. Now, you can salvage somebody off of a sick bed. You can salvage somebody off of a sick bed with CCH1, an unconscious person, so forth. You can do a great deal for them, providing that is the optimum solution. If you are to have a complete freedom on all dynamics, you must admit to what is. Get the idea? And there are times to live and there are times to die. I don't think, however, because it imposes a total burden on all the rest of us, that there are times to go insane. That's about the only senseless action a person can take. Totally senseless. Because he says, here, take care of me. Here. Great business, huh? Here, I'm a perfect charge on everybody. Now I'm happy. I've got everybody in debt, and I've got them all messed up, and I'm just ruining them in all directions. Boy, I'm going to die slowly. Well, that's too much of an overt act on his part. I don't care if you look at it this way or don't look at it this way. The point is, that's the way the thing works for me. And they come up saying, take care of me. I can't do anything. Look. Oh, I'm liable to tell them very, very straightforwardly. The garbage can is right out back. There's plenty of objects around. If you've got to process something, just got to process something, there are trees. Have a ball, run 8C on a dog sometime, make him talk. There are all kinds of things to do. But the guy that's got it totally in for you by saying, I can no longer take any responsibility for you in any way whatsoever, deal with him. See, it isn't the APA that pushes me away from the insane. It isn't the American Medical Association or the laws and so on. I tell you, there'd be a change in laws if that was the case. I'm just not interested. Just not interested. I'm not interested in somebody who is totally irresponsible for everything he does. In the first place, I know too well how many overt acts he had to pull to get in that condition. So I know the only thing he'll really buy from me and like, if I want people to like me, the only thing he'd ever buy from me and like was a kick in the guts. This at least give him a motivator. You see? Different ways to look at this sort of thing. All right, I've given you a fairly good rundown here of the target and intention behind these processes. These processes have to do then with the person who is still participating to some degree, who is still contributing to some degree, still has some responsibility on some dynamic somewhere. Now his trouble is at the lowest rung that he's dubbing in. At the middle rung that he's got a feel that occludes everything. The next rung up from that, sooner or later, you're going to run into somebody who exteriorizes violently. He does a bunk. When he comes up that far, he all of a sudden starts yo-yoing. Because you've got him up in the zone of no confront. And his next difficulty is that he can't confront. So we've undercut confront. First the dub in. Instead of the real picture, he gets a false picture. That's just a method of wiping out pictures, dub in. The next one, occlusion, is accompanied right along with invisibility. But occlusion is simply saying, it's all black, so it ain't. See, you test somebody to close his eyes. He's occluded. You say, what are you looking at? Well, nothing. What are you looking at? Well, you say, all this blackness. All right, you can make up your mind then that somebody has just drawn the curtain. Or he's got a picture he is using to draw the curtain for him. The next one up the line from that is usually an invisible field. Now, sometimes you'll find an invisible field below the black field. and sometimes above it on this scale. But when you find a black one, don't be surprised if it goes invisible somewhere along the line, because invisibility is another method of not ising, and a much cleaner method of not ising than drawing a black curtain. He just says, it's all invisible. Now we go one stage up above that, and we get elsewhereness, which you know as out-of-valenceness. That's a case of elsewhere. He's out of valence. So naturally, a person who is dubbing in is out of valence. Naturally, a black case is out of valence. Naturally, an invisible case is out of valence. You get the idea? Because we clear up here to a case of elsewhereness before we really start to get valences. He must be out of valence in all the lower stages if we have as our main problem of elsewhereness getting him in valence. So this fellow is looking at the scenery, or he's in somebody else, and when you ask him to tell of his life between 1600 and 1651, he very, very happily gives you the life of Tilly the Toiler or Henry Morgan or something of the sort, any life but his own, because he's a case of elsewhere. Now, it isn't dub, because he doesn't have many pictures. He's had something to do with the person. He's probably part of a scene with the person somewhere, and he went from himself, flip. And whenever he sees himself, he sees himself over there. Now, you want to watch for that one while you're processing people. Now, where are you in the picture? Well, I'm right over there. You say that? Dandy. Just what I wanted to know. Now, we had a crude method of handling this in 1950. The auditor said, very politely, softly, and quietly, get into your own valence. You remember that? Get into your own valence. A lot of valence pictures. They very often do. It's a remedy. But there are smoother remedies, and they are contained in these processes. Now, these processes run an individual up the line through dub-in, occlusion, invisibility, out-of-valenceness, and up into being on the track. Now, when he's on the track, he has to be able to confront something. Now, the way to get him on the track is convincing that he can confront something in some way or another. All right? The first thing that we had that paralleled the control, SCS control, in thinkingness, was think of an identity that could be handled, think of an identity that could not be handled. They were run alternately. That's quite interesting. Quite an interesting process. Doesn't have its highest value in this ACC, but it's a very interesting process indeed. Some of you who handled it and ran on it could tell. But there is an undercut to such a process. And the undercut to this process is running both sides of selected person overts. Both sides of selected person overts. How would you run that? You pick up the selected person. He must be a person that is real to the preclear. You then recall a time when you did something to name the selected person. There's an alternate question that can be used with this, which runs it off as a ridge. That would be, recall a time you withheld something from the same selected person. Now, I eventually found the dichotomy. Took a lot of testing and so forth, but I eventually found the dichotomy to an overt. And the dichotomy to an overt is to withhold. You do an act to them and withhold things from them. Now, that's the way it sorts out. That's quite interesting. It could have sorted out 89 different ways. Now, when somebody says, he is repressed, they really mean he's withholding. Got that? So these cases that are having a lot of ridge trouble have this one as an alternately run process. They have this one And the best way to run it, however, if you were starting on a case with it, the best way I know of to run the thing would be this. Think of something you have done to selected person. Think of something you have withheld from selected person, and not make the PC talk too much or give you too many answers. You got the idea? All right, now there's a very, very low undercut on cases. Now this will take the fellow who has face ridges. Take the fellow who has a shield of some kind or another up in front of him. And it'll shake it up, believe me. Now that's a very rapid way to turn a case's field one way and the other. All right. Now, about the lowest rung here is sorting out somebody's dynamics and finding a dynamic that is unidentified, which we have already covered to a marked degree. Let's recall something you have done to the dynamic, and recall something that you have withheld from the same dynamic. You see, that would work there too. And that's a very, very low-level process. Well, the way you'll isolate a dynamic is you find the change of the needle pattern, and you get a dynamic they can't describe to you, but they make mistakes about, and so forth. But if the person just goes on, names them all off, doesn't make any mistakes to them, you get no change in needle pattern, you're wasting your time. They haven't got an identification on the dynamics. Dynamic straight wire. This is quite remarkable. Here was another one. Recall something you have done to selected person and when. Now, that would be followed now with recall something you withheld from selected person when. Bring your notes up to date there. And the process is faster. Runs faster this way because they're both overts. Withholding something from somebody and doing something to somebody, they're both the same overt act. So it's still overts. But a person sometimes totally stuck on not being able to do anything to anybody, but he can withhold everything from them. You've had PCs like that. They can't do anything to you, but they can sure withhold everything from you. And this clears them up so they start communicating. Terribly valuable process to establish in-session. This definition of in-session is, of course, willing to talk to the auditor, interested in own case. They get interested in their own case on this one. Now, this is the kind of a process that you should run on somebody that if you didn't have very much time, you just kind of patch them up somehow or another. You can drop this one almost any place. Selected person overts, run with both the done to and withhold. And the person who was shy, something like that, think of something you have done to, think of something you have withheld from. They'll come up with some goofy ones, let me tell you. All right. Now, general overt straight wire would convert in the same way. Recall something you have done to someone is just that as a command, but recall something you have withheld from someone would be the companion command. This is just in the interest of fast running. PC doesn't often select out the withhold as an overt, but it's the pull-in that goes against the push-out. This, by the way, is one of the riddles of the ages we've just cracked in this particular one. We have a habit of doing this quite routinely. All right, now ARC brake straight wire has not had much handling running during the latter part of the course, but please may I recommend this process to you with great earnestness. This is about the handiest, jim-dandiest little process you ever ran into. It is long, but it's a gain all the way. This is a hot process, ARC brake straight wire. Recall an ARC brake. But don't try to run it on somebody who is having overt trouble. That's for your general or your selected overt straight wire. In other words, you couldn't just start out with ARC brake straight wire. An individual would do nothing but run motivators. Somebody broke an ARC with him. Somebody broke an ARC with him. Somebody else had broken an ARC with him. Somebody else had broken an ARC with him. Just plow himself in. So the process has the liability that if the person cannot accept very much responsibility for his own actions, you had better undercut it with the overt straight wire processes. Got that? All right. Not his straight wire is the handiest, jim-dandiest little case crusher you ever ran into. I think you will agree. You agree with what I'm saying about some of these processes, by the way? Let's recall a time you implied something was unimportant. Recall a time someone else thought something was important. Now, it's always self-unimportant, other person important. That is the havingness way to run it. If you run it the other way around, or let the PC run it the other way around, he's had it, because he'll strip all of his havingness. When he himself thought something was important, of course, gave him havingness, because importance and PT are the same thing. This is simply PT, because it's solid. If you were to leap up and bash your head against it, you would tell me that it was very important. Right? It's solid. The one thing that the present has that the past doesn't have is importance. And the one thing that disappears out of tickets and actions, situations, problems, is importance. It takes importance. Well, now the individual gets too much of his own importances stacked up, and you try to run these own importances out, you're running out what he has mocked up, and you're just stripping the havingness off of his bank. What he's trying to not is what the other fellow said was unimportant, and more darn things will show up on this process. But it's not a process to be handled carelessly or diffidently. It's a real biter. A PC can get into quite a bit of trouble running that particular process. And you have to give him all the help you can. Well, the best way to help a PC out is to call it on the E-meter. When, if he can tell you the time, just let it go. If he can't tell you the time, assist him and spot the time for him. Quite important, because both of these go backtracked quite rapidly. If you don't spot the time for the PC, you can sit around and wallow in an engram for an hour or so. And that's no process to run an engram on. Now, here's old third rail. More difficult cases. Look around here and find something you would permit to vanish. 8 commands. Look around here and find something you would continue. 2 commands. Look around here and find something you have. 1 command. That's your old 8-2-1 ratio. That vanish is what you hit, because vanish is what? That is just straight not isness, isn't it? All right. Now we've got a much higher scale process, which is, what can you confront?
It's way up here. It's way up here.
And what it basically handles is the case who is almost an elsewhere. The case who is trying to elsewhere, or who is almost trying to elsewhere. What can you confront? We'll handle that elsewhereness. So you see, that's a pretty high-scale process. That's pretty high scale. Now, the old responsibility factor, which shows in tests to be tremendously valuable as a process, is mock up a picture for which you can be wholly responsible, or totally responsible is better wording. I want to get mixed up with the Catholic Church or something. You mock up a picture by which you could be totally responsible. That's quite a thing. Now, that is all the creative process, or the step 6 type process, that you would dare run today. That sounds the end of cycle and the death knell of creative processes. That is the process. Got it? You can run that process. You mark up a picture for which you can be totally responsible. You can run that process in an unlimited fashion without messing up anybody's bank. He'll go on, he'll keep on improving and improving and improving. Almost any other creative process is limited. Except this one. This is the only unlimited creative process by modern assessment and so forth that I know about. So it is pretty important to the process. All right, your next one up is a sort of a last resort process. Sort of a last resort process. When you just haven't been able to get this little old cotton picking PC to go any part of his track or anything else, and you've got him brushed up here or there on this or that and so forth, and you decide that you want to run an engram on him, there's one way to do it. There's one way to do it. He wouldn't do it if you held a gun on him. He wouldn't do it if you threatened him with a lead boot. But he will do it if you ask him this common garden variety pleasant question. What part of this life would you be willing to re-experience? What part of this life would you be willing to re-experience? I'm giving you the entrance toe in the water. See, that's a little gradient here. I see you don't have that as a gradient. All right, but that's a gradient. What part of this life would you be willing to re-experience? Or what part of this auditing would you be willing to re-experience? Or what part of the last 5 minutes would you be willing to re-experience? And, of course, that comes up, too, but isn't the same thing as, is there anything going on right now, right here, that you would be willing to experience? That's really not the same one, because you're asking him to do it in picture form on picture vias when you say re-experience. And therefore, you're held down, I guess, to the last 5 seconds. Is there anything in the last 5 seconds that you would be willing to re-experience? Now, of course, this swells up to quite a process. You could say, is there anything in your life that you are willing to re-experience? Or that you would be willing to re-experience. What is it? Oh, what are you screaming about? Sort of goes that way. Now, is there any part of any life you have ever guessed at that you would be willing to guess at again? It's just about the total limit of human thought. But this is quite valuable. This throws people into engrams quite handily and readily. But it's also a very interesting case undercutter. It's one of these processes that go near the bottom, way on up along the line. It's a way to handle ARC breaks. And let me point out something to you. Any one of these processes can be used as an auditing remedy. You're in trouble with this PC. You can use any of these processes I've given you to remedy the session you are running, the selected person being the auditor. Don't you see? The withhold being the auditor. See? Recall anything you have done to your auditor. Recall anything you have withheld from your auditor. See, now this is a session patch up. Well, typically, any of these processes patches up a session, or a PT problem. Now, you can take a PT problem today. You isolate the fact, and this is new, and you'll be interested in this. You can isolate the PT problem, isolate it, and run any of these processes on the personnel of the situation, and you'll flatten the PT problem. There are 3 people involved in this present time problem. Just take them as selected people, run selected person overts on them. And you will take the charge off the PT problem quite rapidly. All right. Is there any part of this auditing session you would be willing to re-experience? Is a neat way of getting somebody back in session. He says yes. You say, what is it? Now, here are the process commands for engram running. What part of that incident can you confront until the incident is apparently something that happened way over in Spain, not right here in the room. Then, What part of that incident can you be responsible for until he must deliberately mark up incident in order to have it? Now, that goes to what part of that incident can you confront with the additional question without an acknowledgement in between them? For how long? The auditor never criticizes these answers, of course. And when he gets that pretty flat, which is flat when he can let it endure for a split second or for a long, long time, an eternity, until any period of time from an instant to eternity is all right to go on confronting it, that turns into what part of that incident can you be responsible for, also with the additional question, for how long? Until any period of time from instant to eternity is all right. And then find an unimportant part of that incident, or find something unimportant in that incident, but find an unimportant part of is the better command, I think, until incident completely clears up. But that is a little bit of a misnomer. Until enough incident then comes into view so that you can start in with the first command and run it all over again. Got that? So after you've got a new incident there, apparently, you've taken the "not is" off of it, see? You've taken that he thought this was unimportant, he thought that was unimportant, he thought something else was unimportant about it. It's all unimportant. They just took my mother and my house and my car, and they all smashed him up into a hydraulic jack and threw it all over a cliff and condemned me to eternity and sentenced me to the slave galleys on Arcturus, and there's nothing important about that. So I'll just run this incident as something I came home, walked up the front steps, and found there was no dinner ready, and went to bed without supper. And that's the incident. And he runs this with great ardor until you run, find something unimportant about that incident. Well, it was unimportant this, unimportant that, unimportant something. All of a sudden, he said it was unimportant. The dining room table was unimportant. Well, why shouldn't it be unimportant? His eldest child was spread-eagled on it with table knives, you know. A lot of incident comes back up when you do that, and you have to start in all over again and go through the whole rack of commands on the new incident, and then you really will knock the thing out. The theory of engram running is you find the incident necessary to resolve the case, and then run that incident until you've got that incident so beautifully and so well handled. Not you, of course. Have the confidence of the PC in his ability to run an incident way up so he can tackle the next one. It isn't trying to run an awful lot of incidents. Wherever you have to run a lot of incidents, you have left some parts of earlier incidents poorly run. Got that? Now, the theory of running engrams and cases by engram running is to crack the case into a good reality and cure the case of dub-in and not is, because engram running itself will cure him of elsewhereness. So you got to have processes that get in there, that crack the case, give the case a terrific subjective reality that you can do something for him. You've got to get in there and get the case moving, get a change of communication and track on the case. Move this up, get a little more change, and get rid of these impulses to dub in and not is, and then you're all set. Now, whether you run it with, is there any part of your lives you would be willing to re-experience, or any other doggone thing you want to get him into it with, you can get him into an engram at that time, and to some degree it'll run. Some degree it'll run. Now, if you got into an incident, and you got into too much trouble in this incident, you figured he couldn't run incident, or just start him all over from the bottom again. It doesn't matter, as long as you don't forget that you had him halfway through an engram. You got that? It doesn't matter what you audit between your sessions or on the engram. That doesn't matter. What matters is, do you eventually come back to it and finish up the engram that was started? You got that? PC starts escaping out of the incident. You've got the rule of the last largest object. PC goes, ooh. You say, what's the matter? What's the matter? He was just running fine a moment ago, screaming at high C. You say, what's the matter? Well, it just suddenly occurred to me. It's unimportant. It doesn't really matter. I think it's flat, he said. You say, what's your degree of reality? I could make it real again. You say, what was the last large object that you encountered in the incident? Oh, he says, that house. What part of that house can you confront? Now, that would apply to any of the auditing commands. See, flew out of the incident on what part of that incident could you be responsible for and for how long? This is what you were running, see? And he flew out of the thing at this late stage of the game. You say, ho-ho. What was the last thing he looked at? The last large object he looked at? Well, it was the bellboy. All right. You say, describe the bellboy to me, you know, the way you could do it. He says so and so. You say, good. Now, what part of that bellboy could you be responsible for and for how long? And you run that until the mystery and the hanky-panky about the bellboy is straightened out. Got that? In other words, you don't go back to an earlier command on the last larger object. The rule of the last largest object applies on every command that is being run. Now, those are the processes that we ran in this ACC. Those are the processes which made us win. The technology which we learned in this ACC has we've got it on some tapes, but I certainly hope you've got it in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you.